Welcome to our Saturday simulcast. I'm joined by Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert / Ron Burgundy, just in case you're paying attention there. We always like to throw a twist in there and leave it to Brian to do that. We appreciate that. I shouldn't have said anything because I just left it to see if anybody noticed, but we know you watch the show extremely closely, so we appreciate that. We also appreciate our Union Club, Purdue Union Club Hotel sponsors and the 811 Bistro. We appreciate all that they do for us and their sponsorship, but also a chance to check out when next time you're in town, all of the new restaurants in the Union Club, or the Union, I should say, and including Walk-Ons. Drew Brees is a partial owner. That facility has opened as well. And I know people have been frequently that on a regular basis. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are putting a great deal of content up there, and don't want to miss those rap videos by Brian Newbert as well. So we appreciate any action on that part. Okay, guys, we'll start. Obviously, we're recording on Saturday. The Boilermakers take on Ohio State at a noon Sunday start. Now, usually you would think noon Sunday may make for a sleepy environment a little bit, but I don't think so in Mackey Arena. This is going to be a big game, one of the biggest home games, if not the biggest home game left on the schedule, I guess, if you're not counting Indiana at the end of the year. But, Brian, I'll start with you. Obviously, this is the team you cover. The Boilermakers and Ohio State, the Boilermakers beat Ohio State twice last year. And yet Ohio State is certainly considered an upper echelon team in the Big Ten. What do you expect tomorrow?
I expect Purdue to play well. You know, this has been a pretty good noon team. Every team's different. And some teams have more late risers than others. And I think this team, when you look at its body of work this season, the afternoon games they played in Connecticut, the noon start at Penn State, the noon start against – I think it was a noon start at Penn State. The noon start against Northwestern. Purdue's played pretty good in the on weekend afternoons, pretty well. Sorry for my horrible English there. but I would expect them to play well. You know, I think that obviously the Indiana game was a blip on the radar through that momentum that they built up after the Wisconsin loss. But I think they're doing okay right now. I think they've got their legs back under them. I think they're trending in the right direction in a variety of ways. I think that, you know, Ohio State is good. I don't know if they're great. I don't know if anybody in the Big Ten other than Purdue is great. I shouldn't say Purdue's great yet, because they haven't proven themselves yet completely to be a great Big Ten team. But I do think Purdue has the most upside of anybody in the Big Ten and would be the best choice if you had to pick somebody to reel off a winning streak here. I'll be interested to see how Michigan does against Michigan State today. Obviously, we're recording this before that game is played. But I think that, you know, I'd be really surprised if Purdue got through this whole season with more than one home loss. And obviously, they've got the Wisconsin game behind them now. So I guess I'm still giving Purdue the benefit of the doubt here that they're going to win all their home games. And I think Ohio State is good, but I think they're beatable. You look at what happened to them at Indiana a couple weeks ago, where they only scored 51 points. I know a lot of that has to do with Indiana, but it does show how vulnerable Ohio State could be. So I think Purdue will come out and play well tomorrow, but you know, they still have to show consistency. It's only been the two games, the Northwestern game and the Iowa game, both of which I thought were pretty one-sided games, even though Iowa made that run. But Purdue has to continue to sustain success, because the Indiana game is still fresh in mind to a lot of people, I'm sure.
You know, Tom, you look at that, and this is from a standpoint of the Big Ten, and we'll come back also to Brian. It's been a strange year. There's a lot of teams out there that, you know, Purdue, like I agree with Brian, Purdue sits with three losses, but you still feel like they're kind of the favorite in the Big Ten, though. And they will, the Boilermakers will have a chance against Michigan State and Wisconsin on the road to maybe take on the two teams that that need to beat down the stretch. But just looking at that Big Ten race, kind of a strange year from a lot of different perspectives, and it hard to know exactly what to expect.
Yeah, a lot of good teams. Looks like there's some good depth to the conference this year. Illinois, I know, has caught Brian's eye. They certainly have caught my eye. And if they keep everybody healthy, they're obviously going to be a a very formidable foe down the stretch here for everybody, and a team that should be right with Purdue, you'd think, as we hit the home stretch here shortly in the Big Ten season. And, you know, Brian's talked about Michigan, too, and the benefit.
Yeah.
That program, you know, apparently got from having its COVID shutdown not too long ago, and sort of allowing that team the chance to, I guess, develop a little bit more. It's a younger roster. And I think we got a good look at maybe Michigan's potential here recently when we went to Indiana and played awfully well and sort of ran the Hoosiers right out of their own gym. So we know the talent that's assembled in Ann Arbor. And, of course, guys, you know, beginning February here, the Boilers are going to get two quick looks at that Wolverine program. I think, guys, it's Purdue's going to play something like four games in about 10 days, I want to say. And, again, two of those, I believe, are against Michigan. One of them to be scheduled games. So, yeah, those are a couple of teams I'm watching. I'm really eager to see how Purdue comes out in February here. And when it matches up against the Wolverines in particular, you're really going to tell us a lot about, you know, the chances of Purdue maybe getting at least a share of the Big Ten championship, if not maybe win it this year.
Yeah, you know, sharing that Big Ten championship or getting a number one seed or at least getting assigned. To me, this seems to be the prize for Purdue has to be the opportunity to play in Indianapolis in the NCAA tournament, then ultimately play in Chicago if you can get the stars to line up right there. Brian, I know it's, you know, I know we're, what, 6-7 weeks away from Selection Sunday, but if Purdue can have success in the next, you know, and run the gauntlet here and show and establish itself, you know, the number one seed is certainly not outside of Purdue's possibilities, and even a number two seed could still put them in those venues. How do you view that as a reasonable goal for Purdue in addition to the Big Ten title?
Yeah, I think Purdue's set up for success here the rest of the way. You know, I think your schedule lines up in a way that I think gives you an opportunity to, you know, get some more big wins for your resume, but also get a lot of wins. I think, you know, the fact you've already won at Illinois, I think is a big deal. You've already won at Iowa. That's a big deal. I think Iowa's solid. They're not great, but they're solid. You go to Michigan State, you go to Wisconsin. Obviously those are the two that, you know, would be the two marquee games on your schedule after you host Ohio State. You still have Illinois coming here, still have to go to Michigan, still get Michigan here. So I guess I forgot about Michigan there for a second, but I think, you know, the Big Ten in general is good, but I don't know if it's the same meat grinder it's been the last couple of years where you just look at every game and you're like, how the hell is anyone going to win any of these games? How is anyone going to beat anyone else? I think Purdue is the best team in the Big Ten. Their record didn't always reflect it because they lost games they shouldn't have lost at Rutgers. I think they should have beaten Wisconsin, but you have to give Wisconsin a lot of credit for what they did. I think the Indiana game was kind of fluky and something that wouldn't repeat itself if they played again tomorrow. But I think Purdue is set up here to not only be in a really good position to potentially win at least a share of the Big Ten title, but still get good enough wins to sweet talk the computers to the point where you're very much in that 1-2 strata. I think a lot of Purdue's wins from early in the season have aged pretty well. I think a few of Purdue's Big Ten wins here will continue to age well. I think that Illinois win will be a really good one come the end of the year too. So I think Purdue's in about as good a spot as you could be after you let that game at Indiana slip away. That was obviously the one that, you know, you'd really like to have back.
Yeah, Illinois is an interesting team because they're obviously still on the ranking standpoint, still ranked 24th. I agree with you. I think they're the best team in the Big Ten outside of Purdue, but they lose at Maryland, get beat badly at Maryland without Coburn, and that's a factor. You need Illinois to, you know, to continue to move up the ladder, which I think it will. Assuming it can keep a full complement of players to do that. But you're right. It's interesting. I think your point about the meat grinder, it from Purdue's perspective, I really agree. If you're sitting any place else, boy, it's tough on the road. And I know it's been tough for Purdue in two venues this year as well, but that Purdue's perspective is, I still think they're, like you said, they're the best team in the league, and they have that, and they now just got to go out and prove it on a night in, night out basis. And I think that will be a storyline that we'll be watching. All right, Tom, and I know Brian covers recruiting for us, but a big week as well for Jeff Brohm and company. Not only because they're still trying to get assistant coaches signed up. It is signing day, which used to be the mecca of, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when it was relevant. It was the biggest day of the year for in recruiting. Now it's kind of an afterthought, but you know, as you look to, I think it's Wednesday is the, which would be what? That would be February 2nd, Groundhog Day as well. That will be National Signing Day. Nothing seems to be on the radar, but I don't know that we'll see if we get some news from that standpoint. It's obviously a big weekend also in terms of visits for Purdue football, but anything on the horizon from your perspective and kind of how we've changed the it's nothing new in the recent time in terms of looking at National Signing Day and the late one kind of being a thud in terms of interest.
Yeah, I think it's been well documented that Purdue's got basically one target here.
Yeah.
That being Connor Lindgren, the nose tackle from College Station, Texas, a classic nose tackle in every sense of the word, a player Purdue wants, I think, badly. Vanderbilt, Arizona State are in on the kid, and USC would like him as well, but the Trojans reportedly want him to be an offensive tackle. So, you know, that's a guy we'll all be watching for maybe on Wednesday. Not aware of any surprises. The guys are on now. Maybe Brian does. And, you know, as Brian documented and boiling over this week, you know, Junior Day coming up here is this weekend, right?
Right.
And if anybody's on social media, which, you know, probably everybody watching this is, and you follow anything Purdue related from the football coach's standpoint, you've seen a lot of offers go out to class of 2023 kids. So, that process has begun and in earnest. So as you guys know, as watchers know, recruiting never stops, right? So there are the ball's moving forward on those guys, and it'll always be fun to see how that class works out. And of course, as we talked about before, you know, Purdue's always still looking for portal guys. And again, I think running back and offensive tackle remain the priorities there. So still a lot going on football-wise, you know, spring ball coming up February 28th, and that'll be here before you know it, and that's a Monday, and the spring game's probably going to be April 9th, and, you know, two guys, for those Purdue football fans out there, the NFL Combine will be in February. Of course, George Karloftis will be there, no surprise. I did find out today that, to my surprise, Xander Horvath did not get an invite. Maybe that's just me, but I thought that was a guy the NFL would want to get a look at the combine, but he's not going to be down there. So that's unfortunate. Doesn't mean he can't be a pro. So there's that. So yeah, a lot percolating in the football staff, little things we can talk about as well. And yeah, we know basketball's cooking, but football has plenty of irons in the fire right now too.
Yeah, tomorrow, Brian, will be the parade of Junior Day, because one of the great advantages of for football is that they can show off a showcase an environment in Mackey Arena. And I would imagine that, well, I know several of those guys will still be there tomorrow to take in that noon basketball game. And they all already, Jeff Brohm and company, all already paraded out there with the Nebraska game at halftime to show off the Music City Bowl trophy and hoist that as well. Now, that's a huge advantage. I mean, a big deal, I think, for football to be able to showcase that in that unbelievable environment that will be in Mackey Arena tomorrow. But any other things in the Junior Day list that was posted and boiling over that are of note that you're going to be especially paying attention to after this weekend and after those kids go home?
Not really. You know, having a noon start's not helpful for this game, because obviously you're asking families to come from, in some cases, a few hours away. To get to that game. So, you know, it's always possible if you guys who were expected might just wake up that morning and say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's important here as the football recruiting calendar, you know, advances so much.
Yeah.
It's important to get these guys on campus every opportunity you can get. Now, when you have a lot of vacancies on your staff, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword where you'd almost rather these guys come later when, you know, if there's a wide receiver,
he can
spend time with his new wide receivers coach. You know, there's going to be a bunch of offensive linemen visiting this weekend. And obviously that Purdue still has its offensive line coach in place, but there will be another voice in their ear when they, if should they come to Purdue, who they won't get an opportunity to meet. Now, that being said, junior days tend to be more, hey, let's go watch the basketball game. Let's give you a tour of the facilities. It's not always, it's generally pretty brief and pretty cursory, superficial, whatever it might be, more like an entry point, not necessarily the really in-depth type of stuff with each guy. So it's a big deal to get them on campus. It's a really important benchmark at this stage of the process for recruits to show schools that they're interested enough to come visit. So that way the schools know, hey, this is a guy worth investing in. He was willing to take his Saturday and come to us. But these are always important. Purdue's going to have some of the better players in Indiana, on campus. Josh Mickens, a defensive end from Indy, who's one of their top priorities. Kendrick Gilbert, I think, is supposed to come. He's a national recruit defensive tackle. There are some offensive linemen in the state Purdue's going to want. But that being said, there's some guys, Joe Walker from Warren Central, Dylan Thieneman from Westfield, guys who are obvious in-state Purdue targets who are going to have to come some other time because this weekend is not working for them. But also with a Joe Walker, you know, he's a wide receiver. You'd almost rather him come when they've found – after they found Jamarcus Shepard's replacement too. So at least – they can be in the same room together with the voice that's going to be the most active person in his day-to-day recruitment. So this is a big deal, but really only to a point. I think it's really going to be the spring when you can get those guys in for more meaningful unofficial visits where they can come, you know, as really the only recruit on campus that day. And, you know, they can actually have more of a focused experience. And then obviously in June, when they're able to take their official visits, that's the most important month nowadays in the recruiting calendar. Well, it for the high school recruiting calendar, you know, December is now very quickly becoming again, the most important month in the recruiting calendar, because that's when everybody recruits its transfers. And, you know, the transfers are becoming more important than the high school kids.
Yeah.
They're not there yet, but they're going to be there pretty soon.
It's close. Yeah, and it may become that way at Purdue. All right, NFL playoffs this weekend. Last topic, only because I always look at it from the Purdue factor. This weekend, Marcus Bailey and Ricardo Allen are probably the only two that are actually going to be on active rosters for the Cincinnati Bengals as they go into Kansas City. LA Rams and the San Francisco 49ers will go at one another, and Bryson Hopkins, I guess, is on the extended roster for the Rams, as I understand. I'm not an NFL expert and don't watch a lot of it, but couldn't help but watch last week in those four games that all ended on basically walk-offs. Tom, I'll throw it to you first. I know Purdue has had, it's been important to Purdue's tradition in football, that long streak that the Boilermakers had of having a Super Bowl participant, if not Super Bowl champion. I think it got broken a couple of years ago, but it still is a good thing always to have somebody from your program, whether it be Marcus Bailey, Ricardo Allen, or Lou Anarumo, as Brian pointed out before the show, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, former Purdue assistant. That's important to have guys that, really showcase your program on that stage.
Yeah. Old Lou got some shout outs while I was watching the game last weekend, and good for him. Right.
Yeah. Lou's a good guy.
Always kind of fun to hear those names you maybe have forgotten about. And yeah, I always remember as a kid, a big thrill for me was following the Boilermakers who were in the NFL. And I was collecting football cards and all that. And then I remember going through the 1990s and mid to late 90s, there wasn't any Boilers in the NFL. And then Tiller comes and the rosters of the NFL teams are bursting with Purdue players. And we're sort of back to that point now, guys. I mean, anybody who reads Allen's Boilermakers and the Pros thing during the fall realizes there aren't many Purdue guys in the NFL. And certainly not that many who are playing key roles. So the fact they got a couple still going now is great for, like you said, Allen, for the program. Hopefully these rosters in the NFL can start getting stocked with a few more Boilers. I think, again, I talked about the NFL Combine. And, of course, Carl Loftus projects as a first-round pick. I think David Bell most likely will be a second-round pick, maybe third round. I think Horvath's going to make a roster. He may not get picked. If he does get picked, it will be late. He certainly will be in a camp. I'm not sure about, you know, Jalen Alexander or DeMarcus Mitchell. DeMarcus Mitchell's the kind of guy I think is going to impress scouts just from the specimen standpoint. If he's dialed in shape, test well, you know, who knows? It takes one team to fall in love with you. And that's a guy we know. We really got a glimpse of what he could be in that bowl game, right? I think his 2 years in West Lafayette were largely unfulfilled expectations or potential, I should say. But we really saw him dialed in against the Vols, and he was a big-time factor in that game. And he's the kind of guy that can maybe make a buck playing football. So my point being is maybe we'll get a few more Boilermakers out of this 2022 NFL draft class for all of us to watch here moving forward. But, yeah, I'm certainly going to be watching the guys, you know, come Sunday. And I wish Bryson Hopkins was playing. What a career he had in West Lafayette, guys, the Big Ten tight end of the year in 2019. Great bloodlines, a great kid too. And hopefully at some point he'll forge a nice role with the Rams. You, of course, have Tyler Higbee, right? A guy with the connection to Jeff Brohm. He's a Western Kentucky tight end, but I digress. So, yeah, a lot of fun. I'm always a big NFL fan. And like I said, love watching the old Purdue guys toil for a buck in that league.
Yeah, Brian, the Jets are not in the four. I just wanted to let you know they're not in the final four here. But what are you watching? I mean, in terms of crazy games last time. I mean, it is – you know, I've never seen anything quite like that drama that we saw last weekend. But anything else outside of the Ricardo Allen and Marcus Bailey? And, of course, you've gotten to know Lou Anarumo well over the years as well. But this is a obviously a huge showcase for football in general, as the whole world is watching.
You had to take a shot, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
You know, it's kind of funny, the Jets – have number 10, and look, it is a pass rushers league nowadays. They need a pass rusher in the worst way. They're not going to get Aiden Hutchinson. I don't think they're going to get Kayvon Thibodeau. They've got an earlier pick than number 10, but I don't think they're going to get one of those guys at that point. Number 10, if Carl Loftus is sitting there, you know, as a Jets fan, but also someone who's covered George Karloftis and has actually humanized this person in my mind, I'm conflicted, because while NFL money is the same no matter what situation you're in, I don't know if I could wish that on someone who is actually a real-life person that I'm conscious of, because I just don't know if I'd have the heart to root for that person to get put into the most dysfunctional organization of all of sports. With no chance for success, You know, I told Matt Light on draft day years ago that I hate the Patriots, but I'm happy for you that you didn't end up a Jet. Now you just get to beat them twice a year, because your career would have been over. You know, we were just talking about, you know, Purdue in the NFL and how Jeff Brohm's era here at Purdue, albeit brief, relatively brief to this point, is kind of reinvigorating that pipeline. I do think Xander Horvath is going to get an opportunity. I think he's a guy who, when you can catch the ball, when you can do as many different things as he can do, when you can play special teams, I think that's a huge part of getting those fringe guys their opportunities. I think he will get an opportunity. I don't know if he'll get drafted, but if the 49ers need another fullback, they're the only team on the planet at any level still using a fullback, you know, perhaps he could fit in there. But I do think he'll get an opportunity. But I do think, you know, Purdue's going to become a program again where there are physically talented guys who maybe don't become great college players at Purdue, who get an opportunity at the next level, and they have the physical gifts to carve a niche for themselves. In a pass rushers league, we're getting to the quarterback without having to compromise your defense with too many blitzes. DeMarcus Mitchell is as talented a kid as I think has come through Purdue. Aside from the Karloftises and David Bells, I think DeMarcus Mitchell is, from a physical perspective, what the NFL is looking for. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he carves out an NFL career for himself. At that level, his flaws, maybe some of the things that held him back at the college level, you know, maybe aren't as big a deal because you don't stand out as much. And also when you're getting paid to do things, you tend to take them, you know, a little bit more seriously. You know, I look at next year, Jalen Graham, a guy with length, athleticism, the ability to play out in space. I look at Corey Trice, you know, years ago, obviously we'll see how he comes back from his ACL injury. But years ago when the receivers in the NFL all became 6'5 and 4'4 guys, there was a move toward the Patrick Petersons at cornerbacks, the guys who are 6'3", who you could put out there with length and who don't necessarily have to be right up on receivers to be able to close on the ball. Maybe that's a guy. I remember years ago, Mike Hawthorne was never a great college player at Purdue.
Got a chance.
Actually, what was a huge pain in the neck for most of his college career, ended up playing in the NFL for years. Made a hell of a career out of it. And if he's 6 foot and not 6'3", that probably doesn't happen. I do think there's more talent in the program now than there has been before. So I think there's going to be situations where, you know, the Jalen Alexanders just kind of pop up. They're not necessarily on the radar as much going into drafts, but they end up, you know, in a place where maybe they latch on as a late round pick or an undrafted free agent and just kind of emerge after college. Because I think the talent level at Purdue, starting with that 2019 recruiting class, has really been upped.
Yeah. Jalen Alexander was, you know, early before this season on the very fringe of draft. It'll be interesting to see, you know, guys like that. You know, you can go back a good point about Mike Hawthorne, even Chris Dishman was never really fully, in the 80s, fully self-actualized as a football player at West Lafayette. He was obviously an excellent pro for the Oilers back in the day. Now, I'm going to take it one last thing as we part. The Jets, my gosh, Brian, I lived that. Was my most one of my more formative times when the Jets won the World Series, won the Super Bowl. Joe Namath, he's still my hero. That was before you were born and almost before Tom was born. But one of my favorite Super Bowl memories was Super Bowl III, was it? And, of course, the Jets' great upset of the then Baltimore Colts. But so it is possible, Brian, your boys may come back over time. You never know.
Yeah,
so,
you're referencing 1969.
Just like yesterday.
I was negative 9 years old.
I know. That is maybe proof that it has been a long time. All right, we will put this show to a close, and we appreciate everybody watching the Saturday simulcast. Want to thank also the Union Club Hotel and the 811 Bistro restaurant as well for their support. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate all of you for watching and listening. We'll have rap videos this week from Purdue, Minnesota. Brian will be putting that together, of course, also Ohio State. Well, you're going to do it one way or the other, whether you're sitting in your living room, if you can't get there, but hopefully you can. The weather's supposed to be really nasty in the Midwest, middle of the week, as it is right now on the East Coast, as we know. And, of course, Brian will have all the information from Purdue, Ohio State on Sunday when the Boilermakers take on the Buckeyes at noon. So have a great week all, and we'll look forward to next week. So we may do our simulcast on Sunday just because of the Michigan game, but check local listings. Michigan game, of course, is next Saturday at 2:30 in Mackey Arena. So, again, have a great week, all. Thanks for all for watching, and we'll look forward to another good week on the site and our show next week.